Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. Reading to the end of the chapter. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with good, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. An ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. I trust that God will bless the reading of his holy word, every single one of us in the meeting tonight. We'll bow together in a wee word of prayer. We'll just settle our hearts and pray that whatever is said tonight, God will use it. And God will speak to us through it. Gracious God, we thank thee this evening for the privilege to read thy word. And now we pray for help from the Holy Spirit of God as we study it, as we preach it, as we listen to it. O Lord, I ask thee to help me to rightly divide the word of truth. And I ask thee, Lord, to use this word in a particular way to speak to hearts. Thou knowest everyone who is in, and thou knowest the word they need to hear tonight. And we pray that in mercy thou wilt come and apply this truth to their hearts. Be with us now, we ask. Save the lost and restore the backslidden. And those who aren't sure where they stand, give them assurance. Let them sort this matter out once and for all before God. We pray in Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. We're going to think tonight about the words in verse 20. Be I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Friends, the thing the Lord writes to the people in the church of Laodicea in this portion of Scripture are very. I mean, these people had made a profession of Christianity, but quite obviously for many of them, it was a profession without possession. They may have said they were Christians, but their lives did not back up that profession. And the Lord in this section of Scripture specifies some of the problems that existed with these people. For example, verse 15, glance at it, do you see? God says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. In that wee portion, it's teaching clearly that God requires his people to declare themselves either for him or against him. Be open. Be honest. No room for neutrality when it comes to the eating. Hot or cold. Saved or lost. You're either saved and for Christ, or you are not saved and you're against Christ. And the Lord is seeking to impress this upon the people. There's no halfway house. There's no in-between type of salvation. Such a thing does not exist. You know, can't be saved. Speaking about were under a false impression of salvation and a false impression of themselves. Because it says in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The Lord's teaching. They were thinking far too highly of themselves, thinking more highly of themselves than Christ was thinking of them. They had all that they needed as far as this life was concerned, but spiritually they were paupers. Because of this, they thought they needed nothing. They were like many people today. Many people today have beautiful homes, lovely cars, they go on good holiday, bank back. Don't need a Savior, so they think. They say, we have need of nothing. But do you see the person who says, oh, I've got enough to get me through without Christ. I've got enough to get me through without being saved. I'm fine the way I am. Do you see the person who thinks like that? God describes them. And he describes graphically their true condition in this verse 17. He says, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. You think everything. Well, if you're not saved, you've got nothing. You've got nothing. This sort of condemnation is hard for the condemnation, and it is condemnation. It comes in mercy. In mercy from the Lord, because look at verse 19. God says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's a very interesting verse. As many as I love, the Lord admonishes people for their sin. They should accept what he says because he means them well. He does it in love. You know, sometimes when God starts to speak, and he identifies sin that needs to be turned from, they get a wee bit angry. They start to resent it. That's the wrong reaction. Because when God rebukes, he does it in love. He loves you. And God wants you to repent of your sin. This all leads us to our text where it said, hear his voice, he'll open the door, and will sup with him, and he with me. In light of what I've said, that there are people who make false professions, remember that. And they're not saved at all. And remember, there are people who have got all they need and they need no more, and they're really empty. Remember that. And remember, the Lord rebukes, and he rebukes sin with the intention of turning people from it. In the light of all of that, then look at verse 20. It tells us about Christ. What he's doing and what he'll do for the sinner. A few things about this verse. First of all, the verse tells us where Christ is as far as the sinner is concerned. Behold, I stand at the door. Dear unsaved person, is as far as you're concerned. He is outside the door. He's standing at the door. That's where he is. He has not gained admission yet. He's standing on the outside. Now this may seem like stating the obvious, but there's a fundamental truth taught here that we ought that Christ is outside the heart, outside the life, outside the experience. experience of all men before their conversion. Before you get saved, he is on the outside. Remember that. Because far too many today are confused on this issue. False statements and doctrines bandied about. You've heard statements like, sure, we're all God's children. We're all Christians. We have all got faith. And people say that. The more they say it, the more people are starting to believe it. People who should know to the difference, who should know what the Bible says, the more they say it, the more people start to take it on board. Is it true to say, oh, sure, we're all God's children. We've all got faith. We're Christians. It doesn't teach that. God's children, spiritually, listen to this wee verse. Ephesians 2 verse 3. Please listen to God's word. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh. Everybody living in the lusts of the flesh according to that verse. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath. Even as others. Friends, it doesn't say in the Bible we're all God's children. He created us all, but spiritually, we're not all God's children. That verse tells me we're all the children of wrath. Of wrath. And that phrase, children of wrath, it means children who are so sinful that they deserve to be punished for their sin. They deserve the wrath of God for their sin. That's what the phrase means. We are all children of wrath. We all deserve God's punishment. We're not all God's children. If we get what we deserve, we'll all be in hell. That's for sure. Paul said in Romans 9:22 that we are the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. So anybody who says we're all God's children, you say to them, but sure the Bible says we're all the children of wrath. Not the children of the Lord. What about that statement? But sure, we're all God's children. To say Christ is on the outside, I don't agree with that. Sure, we're all God's children. We're all Christians. No. No, we're not. The Christians, the disciples, were called Christians first at Antioch. Acts 11:26. A disciple of Christ, a Christian, that's a follower of Christ. A follower. A pupil of his. One who learns from him. So, if we are Christians, we'll be following him. His pupils. You know, there are a lot of people today who say they're Christians. They don't follow Christ. They're not his disciples. And it has to be emphasized in the gospel mission. There's more to Christianity than saying you're one. Anybody can say they're one. But a Christian is a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, one who loves him and who obeys him. I'm sure the Savior said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So a Christian is someone who will want to keep his commandments. It always alarms me, folks. And I mean, scares me. When I see people who say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, but they haven't one notion about obeying the Lord. Not interested. I'm a Christian, but I do whatever I like, I live whatever way I like, I do my own thing. Folks, think about it. You can't be a Christian with that attitude. It's impossible. Because if ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. You'll follow me. I'm not saying we'll all be perfect. Because I'm not.
And I'm sure there are genuine believers here, and you'd say, I'm not perfect either. But there's one thing we can say when we're saved. We love him because he first loved us. And we seek to follow him and honour him. With his help, we do our best. We'll not be perfect, but we'll put him first and we'll love him. Tell me, is Christ inside your heart or outside? Are you really a Christian? What about the statement, sure we all have faith? Don't be so restrictive in your preaching. Sure we've all got faith. There are many faiths. Some follow Allah and his prophet Muhammad. Some follow themselves, like the Dalai Lama. They say that all men are good, and through meditation you can bring the good out in yourself. That's their faith. Faith to most people is believing whatever you like. Saving faith is not. Saving faith is not believing what you like. Many have their faith. It's not the faith of the Bible. Do you know what it says in Philippians 3:9? And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The faith. There's one faith. The Bible talks about the faith of Christ. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. The faith, there's one faith. There's one true saving faith. And that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The Catechism tells us faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace, whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation, as he's offered to us in the gospel. Have you received him and rested on him alone? If not, you're not a Christian. And your faith is misplaced. It's misplaced. Friends, if you've never turned from your sin and trusted in Christ, then Christ is outside the door of your heart. He's not in your life. He's not there. Where is he? Behold, I stand at the door. Is he still outside the door of your life? Is he? Or can you say, he's in my heart? Where Christ is, the second thing, what Christ does. For Revelation 3:20 tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice... So it tells us here he's standing at the door, and not only is he knocking, but he's calling as well. Now why does a person come to the door and knock and call out? Because they want in. If somebody comes to your door and knocks, and you don't answer, but then they call you at home, oi, are you there? It's because they want in. They're knocking. And they're calling. A real effort is made to get your attention so that you might open the door. And you know, friends, the gospel's just like that. The Lord Jesus Christ knocks and he calls, and he knocks and he calls. And he does this through his word, the precious Bible. He does it by the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. He knocks and he calls by the various providences that take place in our lives. He knocks and he calls through gospel missions like this one in Dromore. The Lord Jesus Christ knocks and calls. And the fact that Christ is said to do this, it proves something. A very important thing in the gospel that we believe. It proves that man does not take the initiative in salvation. It's not the sinner who goes out to meet or to seek the Lord. Oh no. It's the Saviour who seeks the sinner. It's the Saviour who's knocking on our heart's door. You know it says in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He seeks us. He knocks on our heart's door. It's the Savior who presents himself at the door of the heart and calls sinners to him. This text is at complete harmony with all other gospel texts in the Bible. The Lord called us before we called him. Sure, it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God made the first move in salvation. Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me." It's not the sinner calling out, "Lord, come unto me." It's God calling the sinner, "You come to me." God calls. John 7:37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.'" I think that's one of the glorious things about the gospel. I really do. That Christ would come to an old sinner like me, stand outside the door and knock and say, "Let me in." That he would call me. I wonder, is he calling you tonight? Is he calling you? Let's move on to the third thing then. What Christ promises. What does he promise? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him." There's a personal promise. The gospel's a personal message for you. Christ says, "I will come in to him." If you open the door of your heart as the Lord speaks and as the Lord knocks, the Lord will come into your heart and come into your life. Will you admit Christ in? Will you receive him? Will you bid him welcome? It's not hard to say "come in" and mean it. Sure it's not. But you have to mean it. You have to feel your need of him. You have to feel your consciousness of sin. You have to know that he's speaking, that he's knocking. And when he does that, your response should be, "Lord, come in." I wonder how long the Savior has been standing outside your heart, waiting to get in. How long have you been saying no to the Lord? How long have you been keeping him standing out, as it were, in the cold? You know, if a rich person or an important person or a famous person was standing at your door, now you'd be falling over yourself to let them in, wouldn't you? "Oh, there's so-and-so." You get all excited. Got to let them in. Can't have them standing out there in the cold. "There's so-and-so, they're very important. Big wig in the community. Loads of money. The neighbours will be looking, 'Oh, it's great, they've come to my house.' I'll have to let them in." You'd be all chuffed. And yet, so sadly it has to be said, there are people, and the King of Kings is standing outside the door knocking to come in, and they don't want them. And they won't let them in. And they're refusing him entrance. They're saying no to Christ. "Oh, anybody else is welcome in my life. But not the Son of God." Maybe even worse than not letting him in, you wish you would go away. Sometimes that happens. That's a solemn thing. When an unsaved person could sit in a meeting like this and know Christ is knocking on my heart's door and I wish he would quit. I wish he would go away. I wish this striving would stop because I'm not interested. Is that you? Is that how you feel tonight? I hope not. Because there could come a day when you would wish that Christ was standing outside your door knocking, and he wouldn't be there. You refuse him now, but whenever you need him, what would it be like if he was no longer knocking and no longer there? Oh, how dreadful that would be. That reminds me of the verse in Genesis 6:3, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Oh, if the Lord strives
arriving tonight, if he's knocking tonight, let him in tonight. Because when you finally come to your senses, it might be too late. He could have turned away from your heart's door and went to someone else's, never to return your way again. That could happen, sinner. That could happen. Where Christ is now, outside the door, what he's doing now, he's not. What he promises, if you open the door, I'll come. Finally, what he gives. What does Christ give? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come and will sup with him, and he may. That's phrase at the end, that denotes real friendship. You see, supper and meals in the time of the ancients, that was really the principal social thing. A sign of real friendship. If you really wanted to befriend someone, you brought them to your home, you made them a meal. I suppose to an extent that still exists today. Maybe to a lesser extent. It doesn't have the real significance it used to have. But you know, if you want to make somebody welcome or befriend them, you'll bring them round to your house and make them a bite to eat. It's a way of showing it kindness. Showing you want to be friendly. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? If you let me in, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. You can sup with me. Imagine that. The Lord of all glory would say to you and me, let me into your heart and life to be your Saviour. And I'll be your friend the rest of your life. You and I will be united together. Never divided. I'll always be there for you. I'll always be with you. That's amazing. That to me is amazing. And you know what? I've discovered it's true. He's the eternal friend of his people. And that's what you're missing out on by not getting saved. The eternal compassion and friendship of God's Son. You're missing out on it. I wonder tonight, are you enjoying fellowship with Christ? He's in my heart, he's in my life. I'm enjoying fellowship with him. And if this is here, what's it going to be like when we get to heaven? It's going to be wonderful. Possible some of you are out of Christ. And you're not ready to meet the Lord. Well then I would say to you tonight, make listen to his word. Listen to his knock. When the Lord comes knocking, don't refuse Christ's entrance. And he'll come in. And he'll give you something worth living for. He'll change your life completely. Dear friend, you listen to him into your heart and life. May the Lord help you to do so even tonight. Amen. Amen.